www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. All right. So, yeah, we thank God for another Saturday evening. Okay. Okay, I started a series that I've been on, and I'm continuing tonight. You know, the attacks of the enemy in these end times, strategies the enemy is using to deceive us. And last two weeks, I was talking about what we believe, our belief system, what we believe. And through that, I'll be moving on to the false doctrines and all that this evening. But first, we look at some of the news, and we see a few things happening around the world. Okay, so let's start with volcano in Russia erupts following record earthquake and swarm of tremors. So this week there was this 8.8 quake that sent some tsunami issues to, you know, some parts of the country, I mean the world, I mean in that zone, part of US and some places, you know. But well, it wasn't as destructive as the famous one we saw in Japan and Indonesia some years back. But this one too, well, some places flooded anyway. And so 8.8 quake this week, and after that we have this volcanic eruption. And then actually, the Ring of Fire is very busy. That whole active zone in the Pacific zone is very busy. Two Indonesia's most active volcanoes erupt within hours, and that's today. For the second day in a row, one of Indonesia's most active volcanoes, Mount Lewutobi Laki-Laki, erupted. The explosion launched a column of smoke and volcanic material shot up to 11 miles in the sky on Saturday morning. All right, this article is very interesting because there's something brewing in the geopolitics of the world. Dividing Israel, defying God. I like this headline. The world's dangerous path towards judgment. This September, the world will take one more dangerous step towards disaster. At the United Nations General Assembly, a growing coalition of nations, once counted as friends of Israel, will formally push to recognize a Palestinian state. Interesting. Canada, France, the United Kingdom, nations who once stood against terrorism, are now preparing to reward it with legitimacy, flags in the UN seats. Make no mistake, this is not about peace. It's about power. It's about appeasing an ideology that has raised its children to hate Jews and murder Israelis. And it's about something even more sobering for believers. It's very interesting. And then the article goes on to say that this is another step to fulfill Bible prophecy. France, co-chairing a UN summit with Saudi Arabia, has confirmed it will recognize a Palestinian state this September. Canada, once a bold ally of Israel, has caved under pressure, linking recognition to vague reforms within the Palestinian Authority. And the UK has issued an ultimatum. Either Israel halts its operations in Gaza and abandons future annexation efforts, or London will proceed with recognition. These decisions are not occurring in isolation. Ireland, Norway, Spain, Slovenia, and others joined the chorus in 2024. By this fall, September, more than 144 of the 193 UN member states will recognize the Palestinian state, roughly 75% of the global community. In other words, the world is uniting to divide the land of Israel. For those who take the word of God seriously, this is no small diplomatic debate. Scripture warns repeatedly that dividing the land of Israel is a direct provocation against God's purposes. I'm quoting Zechariah 12:3. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all who try to lift it will hurt themselves. And then Joel 3:2. I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for dividing up my land. In their rush to impose a solution, the nations are sowing the seeds of divine wrath. They believe they are peacemakers, but in reality, they are playing with fire, eternal fire. This international movement eerily resembles the prophesied global alignment against Jerusalem. And though the final chapter of history has not yet arrived, we are watching the table being set. That's an interesting piece. I just hope Ghana would abstain from it, not join these liberal countries who are just anti-Israel. Okay, this headline says, Trump repositions two nuclear submarines after highly provocative Russian comments. President Donald Trump announced on Friday that he has ordered two nuclear submarines to be positioned in appropriate regions following highly provocative statements made by former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Medvedev said earlier this week that Trump's new deadline for Russia to end the conflict with Ukraine is an additional step towards war. Based on the highly provocative statements of the former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, who is now the deputy chairman of the Security Council of the Russian Federation, I have ordered two nuclear submarines to be repositioned in the appropriate regions, just in case these foolish and inflammatory statements are more than just that, Trump said in a post on Truth Social. There was no immediate response to Trump's comments from Russia. The Russian Foreign Ministry did not immediately respond to the statements. Medvedev, now a deputy chairman of the Security Council of Russia, cautioned that Trump's announcement on Monday that Russia must end the conflict with Ukraine in 10 to 12 days would not end well for the U.S. That's what Medvedev said, and Trump has gotten angry, and also, I mean, this nuclear thing and all that. But some experts, even bashing Trump, experts, even the U.S. Former government experts, security advisors and all, some are bashing him because the truth is, these nuclear submarines, they are always on the move around the world. They are always close by Russia anyway. So, it's not important to even say this in the first place, because they always operate under high-level secrecy. So what's the need to say this? Because Russia knows it. So if you say this just to scare people and, just increase the tension in the world unnecessarily. Okay, then in Congo DR, something brutal happened. The Christian persecution is really increasing. The brutal machete attack that killed 49 Christians during prayer in DR Congo. Jihadists burst into Sunday service in DR, or Democratic Republic of Congo, as part of campaign to establish Islamic caliphate. So the State Department, the Pope, United Nations, and a leading Christian group have all condemned a new major attack on Christians in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, which the UN says left at least 49 dead. In the latest attack in a tragic long string of mass murders by Islamist terrorists in both Nigeria and DRC, the UN said rebels from the Allied Democratic Forces, ADF, a sanctioned rebel group allied to Islamic State with roots in Uganda, burst into a church in the eastern town of Komanda and set about hacking Christians who were worshipping inside with machetes and other knives. The congregation was attacked at 1 a.m. last Sunday morning whilst they were on the ninth vigil, reportedly praying for peace. The rebels also burnt nearby homes. Nine children are said to be among the dead, and several villages have been affected and abducted. The State Department spokesperson told Fox News Digital, the United States designated the Allied Democratic Forces, ADF, also known as ISIS-DRC, as a foreign terrorist organization in 2021. We are concerned by reports of the recent attack on civilians in the DRC and strongly condemn this cowardly act of violence against Christians in their place of worship. The killings are strategic. Ilya Jadi, senior sub-Saharan researcher for the Christian charity Open Doors, who support and speak up for Christian persecuted for their faith, stated. He added, the ADF have a very clear aim. They want to turn a large part of DRC into an Islamic caliphate, like the horrific one instigated in Iraq and Syria in 2014 by Islamic State. Contacted by Fox News Digital on Tuesday, Jadi said the presence of Islamic State groups across the region means that sub-Saharan Africa has become a new epicenter of jihadism. Muslims are in the minority here, and it said that Christians account for about 80-95% of the population in Congo. Wow. Then to a nearby place, Nigeria. Displaced Nigerians block highway to protest government inaction after 200 Christians were killed in a massacre. Hundreds of displaced Nigerians blocked the major highway this week to protest government inaction after the mass killing of more than 200 Christians in a massacre last month. The demonstrators, mostly women and children, demand food and security at a camp near Makudi in central Nigeria. You know, for Nigeria's issue, the government is just not interested. The government is just not interested. So it's like, it just goes on and on and on and on. The previous government same, and even now, there's even worse. I mean, when they had Muslim Christian leadership, Muslim president, Christian vice, couldn't do anything. And now that is full blown. Now there is even worse for them there. All right, now we come to Ghana. There's this worrying, you know, we've spoken about this SHS, the gang issues, the lawlessness, the immoral issues and all, the crime and all that. This week, yesterday, family of slain Kimbu SHS student demands justice. Let me read the story quickly and then I address a few things there. A family is in grief is demanding immediate justice after their son Adeb Alhassan was allegedly stabbed and killed by a fellow student at Kimbu Technical Senior High School in Accra on 31st July 2025. the Warren incident, a stabbing that reportedly escalated from a dispute within a classroom, has triggered concerns in the school community and the public. Yusuf Abdul Salam, an uncle to the deceased, issued a stern ultimatum to the Kimbu Technical Senior High School authorities, stressing that they have until the close of Friday, August 1st, that's yesterday, to produce the student allegedly alleged to have attacked Adib or faced legal action. According to initial reports, Adib Alassan was stabbed following an escalating dispute with a colleague identified as Musa. The specific nature of the dispute remains unclear, but its tragic culmination underscores serious concerns about safety and conflict resolution mechanisms within schools. The gravity of the situation was amplified on Thursday when a group of agitated youth reportedly stormed the school premises upon learning of the death. Reports further indicate that the student alleged to have carried out the attack has since absconded, prompting an immediate manhunt by security agencies. You know, then this news too, yesterday, UDS student sentenced to death for murdering colleague over a relationship dispute. A computer science student of the University for Development Studies, Nampala campus, Salifu Nuruddin, has been sentenced to death for murdering his fellow student, Wumpini Muhammad Zakiu. The crime occurred in September last year and stemmed from a romantic relationship dispute. Nuruddin's girlfriend, also a UDS student, had ended their relationship with him and started dating the victim. On September 25th, Wumpini's body was discovered with multiple stab wounds and his phone was missing. The police cybercrime unit later tracked the phone to Nuruddin's location, where it was hidden under his bed. Evidence revealed that Nuruddin had sent messages from Wumpini's phone, one pretending to break up with the girl and another sent to Wumpini's friend. He was arrested after being lured to the Jubilee Park. Nuruddin admitted to sending the text messages but denied murdering the victim. The Tamale High Court found Nuruddin guilty of murder and was subsequently sentenced to death. Then this happened in Kumasi last week. This headline says, one stabbed to death at China City Mall in Kumasi. A staff member of China City, a shopping mall located at Santasi in Kumasi, was allegedly has allegedly been stabbed to death by a colleague at work. The incident reportedly followed an altercation between the two, although the exact cause remains unknown. It occurred on Saturday morning on the mall's premises. According to eyewitnesses, workers present at the facility raised an alarm after the stabbing. When others arrived at the scene, the victim was found in a pool of blood, struggling for his life. He was rushed to the hospital but pronounced dead on arrival. Moments later, some youth in the Santazi area gathered at the scene in an attempt to lynch the suspect. They allegedly fired warning shots in protest. Okay, and then the suspect has since been arrested by the police. So we see a common trend in these three news items: stabbing, stabbing, stabbing. You know, it's unfortunate, but anyone who follows UK news will know that is their biggest challenge now. You know, unlike US, where they have guns a lot and all, UK, because of their gun control, so gun is not that popular, I mean, like the US. So it's rather knives, machetes and all. So stabbing is what is their biggest challenge. And with this, if you have this happening in the news and people carrying knives on them secretly in school and all, it's quite a worrying thing. So you see, the one in the university, for instance, let's look at the UDS case. He's finished SS, is now in the university. So clearly you can assume that this person, whilst in the secondary school, was a potential knife carrier. And because there are some things where you just don't do it immediately. I mean, if you are not used to it, you are not used to it. So he has progressed from SS now in the university and then commits this crime. See, this is the reason why the issue at the schools should be seriously addressed head on, because you see, failure to curb it at that lower age means they will graduate and proceed into adulthood with this same mentality and mindset and attitude and behavior. And you see, the danger is, it becomes a social, it goes beyond just the borders of the campus, the walls of the campus, into the wider society. You see, so some of these things shouldn't be seen as just, oh, it's just some bad boys be doing their thing in school. It goes beyond, because beyond the school, they are in the open society. And so it's a serious issue. But this whole thing raises the bigger issue of parenting. It raises the issue of parenting. How are people raising their children? How are parents raising their children? You see, because there are some things which, unless the child is really, it's difficult to have a child who is well brought up, well trained, to be holding knives around. I mean, it's not something that is likely to occur. You see, so when you have children, youth, who have the propensity to carry knives around them, on them and all that, it says a lot about who they are, their background, where they are coming from, and all that. You see, so parents have a serious role to play in the shaping of their children into adulthood. It's not just about just while they are children, you just cater for them and all. But even when they are getting to teenage, there are several children that you should be training. But now the question is, how are people training their children? How are people training their children? You see, so parents really have a lot of work to do. And it's unfortunate how some of these things come up. And it's even though now, yes, the government, Minister of Education has spoken extensively about this. Headmasters have been giving free hand to now deal with students and all that, to the point where the last time I heard him speak on it, said now they can even sack students and all. So at least something is being done relative to the current situation or the previous situation as we've known. And so, because from 2017 that this whole change in education policy came into being, of no corporal punishment and all that, this is the decline that we've seen. And we can't go this way. Clearly, it's good something is being done to truncate this lawlessness. And I mean, how can you have a school and headmasters and house parents, housemasters and all are powerless? I mean, how? What type of education system is that? Is that? Because education is not just about being taught or learning alone in classrooms. It's a holistic package. So if our focus on education is just about classroom work and free SHS and that is it, then what type of education are we expecting them to be getting? You see, so we've really ignored the morality aspect of education and we've majored only on academics. But clearly, what's the use of having a good academic potential, doing well academically and morally, you are bankrupt? Eventually you end up in prison like this UDS student. Now look at the end. I mean, Ghana now officially we've changed our laws now. Sentenced to death, but we don't, president will not sign for people to be killed. So technically it's life imprisonment. See, so the consequence of these things, I mean, can you imagine now how the parents will feel to see someone, a child they've brought up, grown into, getting into young adulthood, eventually going to be in prison forever? I mean, clearly, this was avoidable. And that's what we should use as a caution as parents to ensure that we don't take our eyes off the training of our children, because some are joining clubs, whatever, bad groups, bad societies, or gangs and all that. And it's very worrying. Let's say you go to the mall area, and you wonder, you ask yourself, so who are the parents of these children? Just loitering around aimlessly, nothing doing, just walking around, just moving. And I always get worried when I see such scenes of, you can see them aimlessly walking by the roadside, walking at the mall, just moving, taking pictures and all. If someone is to really do research into the background of these children, it's unfortunate, but you realize that a lot of them, the parents are reckless and are not really on top of the issues. You see, so it's like bad parenting. There are some who will tell you their parents have traveled and they are staying with their grandmother, so the grandmother is like virtually powerless, so they can do whatever they want. They just lie, they are going to classes, and then they end up at the mall with bad friends. All these things are happening. Okay, so yeah, it's worrying, but at least parents should step up. And I believe the church also is also failing to a certain degree, because these days, how many churches go to the schools, have missions at schools, like going to schools for like evangelism, or Sunday going to preach at schools and all? I know a few people who do it, but if it was something that churches were paying a lot of attention and like really getting into collaboration with the schools in the community. So let's say if a church is in this district or the community, getting into a collaboration with the school, not every Sunday per se, but at least periodically going there to go and do mission work, preaching to the students, counseling them like the way SU has been doing. You see, if the church was to make an impact in the school, some of these things, a lot of these things happening, it's purely, we all know as Christians that if these children are to really have their lives transformed, the issue of carrying knives and guns and things in schools will be a thing of the past. You see, so a lot has to be done. Okay, so I'll be back after this short break. Let's listen to this song by Amy Grant, El Shaddai.
Adonai, the years, you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Quick, get in here. He's almost here.
Who's almost here?
You said you were having problems. I made an appointment with someone who can help you.
Really? So who is it?
God.
You made an appointment to talk with God?
Yes. Oh, he's here. Quick, go. Go, go, go. Come on, say something.
You don't need an appointment to talk to God.
We don't have much time. Tell him your problems.
Bob, I can talk to God anytime.
Come on, you only have a few seconds. We can talk about this later.
This is silly.
Oh! He's gone.
He's not gone. God is always around.
Okay. So have you talked to God about your problems?
Well, no.
Frank, if you believe God is always ready to listen, then how come you haven't talked to him?
Well, I've been busy.
That's why I made an appointment for you.
I don't need an appointment. I can talk to God anytime.
But Frank, you never do.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Are you taking God's presence for granted? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
O Lord, into your hands I commit the lives of myself and my son.
Are you sure you want to do this, Dad?
Oh, yeah.
Please keep us safe. Don't let me down now.
Go ahead. Start the car.
Okay.
Very good. Now, back it out of the driveway.
Brake! Lord, let it break!
Oh, there's the brake.
Prayer allows us to bring our concerns to an all-powerful God.
Your speed is good. You're doing okay, son.
He's swerving. Oh, Lord, help us. He's swerving.
Moving a little too close to the center line.
Sorry, it helped me go straight.
The ditch! Lord, don't let us run into the ditch.
Cutting a little close over here, son.
Prayer gives us comfort.
Oh, Lord, please let us safely make this left turn.
Can I turn now?
Well, wait for the traffic to clear. Wait for the traffic!
Wow, that was close.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, it brings us closer to God.
I really feel comfortable driving with you, Dad. Thanks for being so calm.
Prayer can also make us a better parent. Have you prayed lately? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Oh, this is cool. I mean, very nice messages. Wow. Okay, so welcome back. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. Okay, so yeah, we are talking about the dangers of okay, this message from Jerry says, Brother Ben, the world is where it is today because the church has failed big time. I agree. The truth has been hidden from the congregation. Everything is now liberal. It's very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. All right, so last week I was talking about what we believe, what people are believing, all sorts of things and all that. You know, the consequences or dangers of false doctrines are severe. You know, Jesus warned us, especially the end times, you know. And let me just read before I start. Matthew 24. Okay, so 24 verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I'm Christ, and shall deceive many." You know, it's very instructive and worrying to when you take note of the key word where Jesus says many, the deception is going to affect many. That is very serious. And then we go to 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So
it really gives us a clue that when it comes to the end times, deception is going to be a real big deal. So when it is pretty obvious that you are in the end time, you have to guard against deception at all costs, because you can easily fall victim. And that's it. Because if many will be deceived, many means many, many means majority, many means a lot, many means a greater percentage, whichever way you describe it, many means many. So even if it's few, it's still serious. But for the emphasis that the thing is many, means we have to be on guard. We really have to be on guard. That's why we just shouldn't entertain strange doctrines and anything at all we hear. Just this evening, I saw a video on YouTube, and a preacher was saying that, yeah, he's going to soon talk about, give the exact dates and time when Jesus will come. And it's like, come on. I mean, why would you even want to say such a thing when the Bible is clear about it? Jesus was emphatic about his coming, and no one knows except the Father. So if you claim to be a prophet here on this earth, and you say you know the day and the time, what are you trying to insinuate? Who are you to think that you are wiser than what Jesus himself has said? You see, and he has said it. But the issue is, even if he doesn't do the program and announce the day or the hour, cry, why even say that in the first place when you know that what you are saying goes against the scripture? And yet you see, powerful. The followers are always a problem. The followers. People just won't pause to reflect. You see, when you have the word of God in you, there are some statements, as soon as you hear it, you just know that this one, it just triggers in you. It's like, it just clicks in you that no, this one is off. So when you see people embracing such and clapping for such and making statements like wow and all those things, it just tells you their content level is almost non-existent or very low. Because the thing that should have prompted you that this is a false statement, you have people saying wow. As last year or so that I talked about this pastor who was reading Genesis, let me just read for the purpose of this discussion, because it's a good example to have. Genesis 18. Okay, so when the Lord appeared with the two angels to Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And then he said that a year after they've eaten, and said a year by this time, a year later, Sarah will give birth and all that. Now you have this pastor say that, and the birth of Isaac is just like the birth of Jesus, because it was God who knew Sarah. So it's like incarnate birth, just like. And you should see the room when he said it. Wow. Hey, no. Christians, what is wrong with us? How can... You see, and the worrying part is, I think, just verse 21, I think. Let me just read. So he used this verse. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. So this is his meaning of, it was God who impregnated Sarah to give birth to Isaac. Just like, and it's like, come on. See, but when the person reading it was reading in church and he was just preaching, the person read the verse 1. In the verse 2 says, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at a set time which God has spoken unto him. But as soon as the person finished, was going to the next verse, no, he just stopped him. He just wanted the verse 1 to make his twisted false message. And the Lord visited Sarah as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. So that was his whole emphasis. And he was running with this. And people were shouting, wow. And those who were writing. Oh, no. You know, sometimes you just... You see, this is... I use this example. It was good the Holy Spirit prompted me on this. This is a classic example of how Christians have no excuse to being victims of deception. Because if you've been reading your Bible, how on earth can you sit down and a pastor tells you this and you are sitting there and you are shouting, wow? What is wow about this? I mean, what is wow about when he says this? What revelation is there in the first place? But you see, they try to mystify and make it like revelation, like no one has said it. It's like revealing something powerful, not at all, boom, and then whoa, wow, those who are clapping, standing ovation, whatever. And you see it over and over around online. Yes. You see, because people are just victims of laziness, victims of being not having any desire to grow spiritually. So they just don't care. They just, we've arrived, we are Christians, that's all. So they are in their same state as they were 10 years ago. They are just there. They are not interested in progressing in their Christian life. So anything goes, whatever they are told. They don't even know whether it's true or false. So all they can do is clap and write notes. Because they don't even know. You see, this is how deception works. If, let's say, I speak in a language, maybe, okay, I can speak Ga. If I mention something in Ga and you don't understand Ga, and I tell you, oh, what I said means this. Okay, if I say Ekome in Ga is one. But if you don't know Ga, and I tell you that, oh, Ekome, what I said, Ekome, it means 10. Can you challenge me? Because you don't even know. So when you said, you're like, oh, but eventually he understands girl, because you don't even know the word I used. So whatever I give you as the meaning, you will accept it and even clap for me and say, wow, yeah, I know my girl is nice. So because you don't even understand what I've said. So whatever spinning I use around the word I said, you don't know. Because you don't have any reference in you that, oh, this is the word. This word means the number one. And no, you don't know. And that's the same thing that the word of God is. Because believers that are not reading and studying the word themselves, they are shallow in their knowledge of the word. So anything they hear, so far as the person claims is the word of God, they will clap for it. So whether it's false, it is twisted, it is whatever, they take the word, they break the neck, they break the legs, and then they deliver it as revelation, and people are clapping. And you see, so it's very worrying and dangerous, and the devil knows that this is an effective way to deceive people. So it's going to even get worse. You see, and that's why Jesus gave us a foreknowledge and a forewarning that in the end times, this is going to happen. And it is very sad that indeed it is happening. And those that it is happening especially to are not even aware that they are victims of what Jesus said will happen. And even if you dare warn them that beware, I mean, this is what is happening to you, they will rather defend. They will rather tell you that you don't understand revelation. You don't understand deep insights. They will use all terminologies to justify why what they are. Man of God, what he is saying is a revelation released just from heaven, fresh from the ovens of heaven, fresh bread. So what they say, what they believe and what they are hearing, they are unique. The whole world, they are the only ones who are being exposed to such high level, you know, divine revelation. So you who criticize, you are the agents of the devil. That's what is happening. I mean, sometimes I randomly, maybe I see some of these videos or, you know, twisted falsehood and whatever. And I just scan through the comments
Just so you see, those who are Bible-based commentators, those who are commenting, who know the word, or are quoting counter verses to disprove whatever the man of God is saying or has said or whatever in the video. And you have those who are the staunch followers, the blind followers, are just defending, and they don't defend with any verse. It's all about, hey, he's a man of God, he's a papa, he's a this, he's a So you see, you can see that these people are shallow, because even in defense, they don't even have any verse to stand on to defend what they say they are believing in. So it's all about, hey, touch not my anointed, he's a this, God revealed it to him, where were you when God called him? You see, it's all about just defending and attacking the people who are saying counter verses. But in reality, if truly this was the true word of God, then it's the same word of God that you can use to buttress and defend it, that indeed this is what the word of God says. This verse even buttresses and even gives it a stronger support. And but they don't come with any verse. It's all about, hey, he's a man of God, God revealed it to him, it's a revelation from God. I mean, and that's all. So you see this common trait, because they don't have any word in them. They don't have any word in them. It's all about, a man of God has said it, so it is fine now. Whether he lied or he just conjectured it, whatever, they don't care. It's all about, he has said it, and that is it. But this is what we are being warned against, because if we have this type of attitude, especially in this end time, then we are going to be victims indeed, because the deception, we've not seen anything, no, it's going to even get worse, it's going to increase, it's going to get worse. You know, it's very unfortunate how, for whatever reason, modern believers, a lot of believers, especially the youth, have no interest in the word of God. They are interested in, yes, quoting, saying big jargons, and but a lot of them are shallow. There's no word in them, because it's just about the showmanship. Oh, Charlie, I'm a creepy, I'm this, hey, speaking in big tongues, and then hey, I mean, that outward act of Christianity is what they will display it. Yeah, I mean, they wear the church t-shirt, and speaking in tongues, they are the ones making all the gestures and the noise and all around clapping. And but that same person, let him settle down and now ask him some things from the Bible, and you hear what will come out. There's no word, nothing. You see, when growing up as a youth, I mean, secondary school, those times and all, when we meet, we go to church and we meet leaders and all that, the first question, have you done your quiet time? What are you studying? What did you learn? You see, it's like, so even when you are not doing your quiet time, you want to do it just before you go to a meeting, so that in case you are asked, you know, you at least you did it, so you've not lied. But you see, now, if you like, call 10 youth in the church and ask them how many did their quiet time that morning, and you see, if only they will say the truth, you realize the numbers. People are not even doing quiet time again. People are not reading their Bibles again. Reading Christ, no, how much more studying? Because studying is entails more than just reading. It's really taking notes, taking time to study, read, compare this, compare, make references. So studying is a real effort to really go deeper beyond just the reading. But in our case now, even the reading, people are not reading. So as for studying, forget about that one. Even the basic reading, even the reading, they are not reading. How many Christians, beginning of the year, January 1st, will buy a devotional book that, oh, I want to do a devotion, my devotion every morning? How many Christians will buy, the daily guide, the ones that SU has and all,
various devotions and all. How many Christians will buy a devotional book that they want to do a devotion? Like this year, they want to be doing devotion every day. Read the word, study myself, read from, I mean, the year, the Bible in the year, 1 year, every day read something, every day read something. How many Christians are doing this? You see, so because these basic things that years ago were the foundations of Christianity that made Christians grounded in the Word of God, now these foundations are broken and non-existent in a lot of cases. Virtually, there are Christians who the only time they touch their Bible, even the Bible card, they don't even have it. They go to church with a phone only. So the only time they even flip the phone, scroll to open the Bible app or read something from the Bible, it's only when they enter the church on Sundays. Beyond that, forget it. Wordless, nothing. From Sunday to Sunday, in between, nothing. Not even a verse, nothing. Unless maybe in a WhatsApp group or a church group, somebody will quote, will paste a morning devotion be there, and then that's all. Apart from that, that on their own, they are going beyond the efforts to, I mean, all the efforts that they want to read the word themselves, take time and read and study and all. How many are doing it? Very few. Very, very, very few. You see, so because this is becoming the trend now, the illiteracy, spiritual illiteracy, biblical illiteracy is getting higher and higher. Is getting high because the average Christian is now wordless. There's no word in them at all. I mean, I gave a lift to someone a few years ago. This was before COVID time. And I took where my at that time where my children were going to, like last one, the KG at that time. And it's a KG, you know, a bit older than KG then. But there was this lady who was like on that same route and asked for lifts. Like I was that getting to the main road, so okay, the place was a bit off the main road. And I was playing, I had this Bible stories in the car, MP3 that I play because of the children. So like there's audio Bible narrated for children, so they are listening and they enjoyed it a lot. So this lady came in and the story was playing Jacob and Esau, and I asked her where she goes to church. So she goes, I won't mention the name of the church and all that. And when the story was playing, I was shocked when this lady asked, hey, so Jacob and Esau, were they twins? And it's like someone has given you a punch in the face and you can't believe what you are hearing. And it's like, there's somebody who claims to be a Christian. And, oh, it's like, gives the impression that it's like active Christian, being a Christian for long and all. And yet, a fundamental Bible story that is like Esau, Jacob. I mean, these are fundamental Bible stories, which is not something that you should have an adult believer struggle with. And yet didn't, because knowing whether they are twins or not makes a lot of difference in the way that story is. So it tells you that this person has not even read that part of the Bible before, has no idea. So it sounded like, yes, she has heard the name, a certain Jacob and Esau, but as to the storyline itself, looks like this was the first time she was hearing it. And it's like, wow. You see, these are the realities of the Christianity that we are seeing today. This is the reality. You see, so it's very sad because when even the basic word is missing in people, that means they are heavily exposed to anything. Because if even the basic Sunday school stories, the fundamentals, you are lacking it as an adult believer, then the devil has no trouble deceiving you, because, I mean, a little advance Bible verse is enough to twist it, break the neck, and then it can be used to deceive you. This is the state of the church today. And it's my plea to anyone listening this evening and will listen subsequently, recorded and all that, that we should do everything possible not to be victims of this spiritual ignorance, biblical illiteracy that has taken over the church. It's very unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate. See, so it's like there's no desire to have the word. There's no desire. There's no desire to listen to the word. There's no desire to. Christians are just wishy-washy. A lot of believers are more interested in hearing prophetic. Now, if you add the word prophetic, that one there, yes, they'll pay attention. So they just want to hear the prophetic. But the word itself, no. Just tell us the prophecy. Tell us what is, and then that one there, they'll pay attention. Beyond that, they've lost it. They don't have interest in real sermon that you are. No. They don't have interest in that again. They don't. And it's a very sad spectacle of the times we are living in. And so you see, the devil is playing this card strongly, because if you're able to deceive them through the doctrines and the lack of the word and all that, they become easy prey. And very unfortunate. But I believe, Mrs. Apertum says, please, Brother Evan, did he also know the exact day he would die? referring to the prophets. I've noticed that some of these people intentionally just want to say sensational things just to always be in the system. People to keep mentioning their names, and it's like they just want attention. So just wild revelation, sensationalize the thing, but you know, the word of God is as simple as it is. The word of God, you know, who be they want to, it's like he alone has seen something. No one has seen it since Adam. The only one God has revealed this to. I mean, this type of things, you know, it's like we just don't want the simple things. So no, we want the complex ones. That one, when they are deceiving you too, they deceive you very well. Anyway, so the time is far spent. This is Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to all our listeners. And someone says, one prophet even said that the world will end today, 2nd August. Even since September 24th and 25th. You see, we've seen this over the years. So, and it's as if, and people laugh. Oh no, I don't know. God willing, I'll continue this series anyway. So, time is far, it's gone. So, thank you for listening. Greetings to our listeners wherever in the world for tuning in. Good night, and God bless you.
The past.